I'd hurt him before. There were days before today I walked through this same door, rushing of the heart and clay, grinding of the will. There's always the fear, always the fear. The field is such a sad thing, so shadow is blue. That's the that are lonely. Never see flowers blue. They fight against the potter and resist his will. And there is no place up to put them but with the rejects of the field, with the rejects of the field. Crushed me again, and this time I'll understand that the potter who worked with me tore through the nail-scarred hand. Here I am, take me, Lord, place me on your will. I'll gladly stay out to stay out of this field, out of this field. For the field is such a sad place, so shadowed with gloom, and that's all that are lonely. Never see flowers blue. They just fight against the potter and resist his will. And there is no place up to put him, but he throws him to the rejects of the field, to the rejects of the field. So crush me again, and this time I'll understand that the potter who worked with me tore through the nail-scarred hand. Here I am, take me, Lord, place me on your will. I'll gladly stay in the potter's house to stay out of his fear, out of his fear.
Hallelujah! The Bible says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. I believe that's the only way to get out of this world. Hallelujah. By that spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well,
glory. I don't know which direction to go tonight. I feel good.
And sometimes it's hard to find direction when you feel good. How many of you folks feel good tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Well, I'm glad you do feel real good tonight in this service. I want
my wife.
Thank you. people say this old-time religion, it's just a thing of the past. But in this modern day that we're living, it's the only thing that will last. Now you may think I'm a little old-fashioned, well, friend, that's all right with me. I'm so glad that I'm a Christian, and from sin I have been set free.
I know, there's no doubt about it, He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place called heaven.
In an old-fashioned meeting, I knelt on my knees in prayer. He lifted my burdens and shackles fell from me, and His presence was so real everywhere. Now that the load that I carry is lighter, He changed all my gray skies to blue. My steps are now higher, cause I have this assurance that His sweet love's gonna carry me through.
I know, there's no doubt about it, He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place called heaven.
No salvation. Hallelujah. Come go with me to that land over yonder. It's prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sickness and death cannot enter. I'm going, brother, how about you?
Maybe today, or maybe tomorrow, he'll return in robes of pure white. I'm packing up now, I'm getting my things together. Who knows, he might come tonight.
Sing it.
I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place called heaven. I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place called heaven.
You know the name? Bad, I know. Thank God. I don't have a question in my mind about it all. Hallelujah. I want to sing the chorus tonight. I was lost, but Jesus came to me. I was blind, He touched my eyes, and now I see. Though a pauper, He made of me a king. Since I have Jesus, now I have everything. I was lost, but Jesus came to me. I was blind, He touched my eyes, and now I see. Though a pauper, He made of me a king. Since I have Jesus, now I have everything. Let's all love the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Well, Brother Rutledge has thanked you for the things that you've brought. And I don't know what else to say, except I'll bring your dishes back later. Amen. We are appreciating this revival. That's the thing. You know, church means a whole lot to me. Good services. I can hardly wait till 7:30 gets here to get in here. And I'm liking the spirit. I want to preach out of my heart tonight what God gave. I feel like that the Lord is wanting to talk to our hearts in this service. And I hope I can follow His direction tonight. Wouldn't you like to hear from God? Praise God. You folks on the sides, pardon me. I don't mean to not look at you, but I have a hard time in this place. I'll do my best, though. All right. Yeah. Hallelujah. 65th Psalm. I want you to read with me tonight. Psalm 65. The first and second verses, the Bible said, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion. Unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise waits for you, Lord in Zion. Unto thee the vow shall be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. That's a good place to go. Hallelujah. That's a good place to go. When you know somebody can hear prayer and answer prayer, that's a good place to go. Hallelujah. Beat a trail over to that fellow's house. Amen. Set up connection between you and him. If he can hear prayer, you make sure you know how to get in touch with him. And first of all, the psalmist said, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion." And I hear the Lord say that he inhabiteth the praise of his people. Hallelujah. I feel like the more we praise God, the more we're going to see of the Lord. Hallelujah. The closer we get to God, the more we're going to praise him. And the more we praise him, the closer we get to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe tonight that we all know that Jesus expects us to praise him. Amen. It's not a small thing in the Scripture. Some people don't think much about praising God and how you do it, but I want you to know the Lord didn't leave any things left unsaid. When he started talking about praise, he went out and got everything he could think about, every instrument he knew of. He said, "Praise me. Praise God. Praise the Lord, even with your hands, right down to clapping your hands, all you people. Praise God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." And everything you're doing, you're praising the Lord. The Bible said, "Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord." And if anybody's got a right to praise the Lord, the church has got a right to praise him. Hallelujah. And if God should expect praise any place, he ought to expect it here in the church. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that the Lord has not been disappointed in this service, because I've heard praise. I have seen praise. I have given praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise waits for you. Hallelujah. You can almost see a crowd hushed, waiting for him. And all of a sudden you realize he's there, and then you begin to praise him. You begin to clap your hands. You begin to rejoice because the Lord is there. That's why I feel like praising him tonight, because I feel him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I felt him at the very first of this service. Before it was ever 7:30, I felt the power of God in this place, the presence of the Lord. And somehow it sobers me tonight to think this is where God is. And in this place, praise waiteth for thee, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And in that sweet presence, men who've made promises to God, pay or keep that promise. Hallelujah. Unto thee shall the vow be performed. And you take care of all that, and then, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. First chapter of Mark, the 35th verse, the Bible tells me in just a few verses before that Jesus went over to Peter and Andrew's house, and Simon's mother, or mother-in-law, was taken sick with a fever. And Jesus laid hands on her, and immediately she got up and began to minister to them. And the sun went down, and when the sun went down, they brought the disease and the sick in so much as there was hardly room in the house to receive them. But anyway, Jesus began to lay his hand on them, or at least to heal the diseases, and he healed them by the multitude. And he commanded the devil, he said, "Don't you cry out, don't you tell anybody who I am." And then everybody went home, and Jesus went in a back room to lay down to go to sleep. But early in the morning, rising a great while before day, he went out into a solitary place to pray. And the disciples came and knocked on the door of Peter's house and said, "Where is he?" And they went out to find him. And when they found him, they said, "Lord, all men seek for you." Praise God. I'm so glad tonight that when I get to needing somebody to help me, I know which direction to turn. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know what name to call on. Praise God, praise God. I'm glad because somebody preached me the word and told me that in His name, all things are possible. Praise God. The Bible did not say that when you pray, whatsoever things you have need of, believe that you have them and you shall receive them. It did not say that maybe. It said you shall receive them. The Bible said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Praise God. Praise God. That's why Paul, writing to Timothy, he said, "I would that all men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." And that prayers and supplication and intercession and giving of thanks should be made to God for all men. Hallelujah. Because they knew that prayer worked. Paul said that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. James said this. Subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed. And when he prayed, friend, I want you to know he got results. Hallelujah. He knew who to go to get results. Praise God. Oh, thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall the mountain be performed. Unto thee shall all flesh come. I look out there in the world and see them coming. By the multitude, I see them coming to where Jesus is. Praise God. Through what direction would you approach Jesus tonight? If you needed Him, I want you to know the first thing you need to do is to know what His Word said. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The Bible talks about people who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. I believe when a man gets down to business with God, asking Him for anything, he needs to have all the dirt out of his heart. He needs to have everything that's not right. He needs to have all that out of his heart so him and the Lord don't have any problem, because the Lord was talking through the prophet Isaiah and he said, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." And he said, "I will not be a healer because in my house there is neither bread nor clothes." And if you want to be shortchanged in God, you can get shortchanged yourself. But if you come clean with God, He's got all of heaven's resources to give to you. Amen, amen. I'm going to point you tonight to the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. Oh, thou that hearest prayer, unto you shall all flesh come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. I remember a long time ago, one evening, around the house, Mama was sitting holding a little 2-year-old boy in her arms in front of the fireplace, sitting in a rocking chair. He'd been sick all day. She lifted up his pajama shirt and looked on his back, and she told my daddy, she said, "He's got spots on his back. Something's wrong." And in spite of the fact that they preach divine healing, and I still believe it, you still believe it, you've already committed yourself to that fact tonight. In spite of that fact, They took him to the hospital and got him there, and old Dr. Rogers looked at him and he said, "Preacher," he said, "your boy's got spinal meningitis." He said, "I'm afraid I can't do anything for him." He said, "But I'm afraid he won't never make it to Monroe. But I'm going to call a specialist up there and have him to meet you at the hospital, and everything will be taken care of. If he lives till he gets there, that doctor will take over." My dad called back out in the country and The neighbors came down and told us to go across the road to my uncle's, stay till they got back. And we heard that Ricky had spinal meningitis. It didn't really mean anything to me. But, friend, when they got him to the hospital in Monroe, he was just on the verge of going over into eternity. And the doctors began to work. But they told my dad, who was a preacher, they said, "Preacher, there's no hope for him." My dad looked back at that doctor and he said, "Doctor, do you know the Lord?" He said, "We're still praying." And you can criticize all you want to criticize the man who may sometimes have to go to that doctor. But I want you to know there's still another thing out there that's called trust. And as long as you can still trust God, I still believe the Lord understands all about that. Hallelujah. They went in there and put him in the hospital and put needles all over him and IVs. There he lay, unconscious. And the doctor never gave him any hope. But 21 days they stayed in that room. My mom and my daddy stayed in that room. Daddy just coming out when he really had to, and my mother never walked outside the doors. For 21 days she stayed right there. But for 19 days that boy lay there on that bed. And the doctor came around with his news and said, "Preacher, he's going to live, but he'll be a vegetable the rest of his life." And Daddy said, "No, doctor, I believe God has spared him these days. I believe the Lord's going to let him open his eyes and live and be all right." And the doctor said, "I appreciate your faith, but I've done all I can do." He said, "The Lord's still working on him." Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, they pass, the doctor comes in, and there lays that boy with his eyes open and talking. And I'm saying, "Day, I don't know how long it was all this took place, but I was just a kid, 10 years old." But anyway, the doctor came in, and he said, "Well, Richie's going to be all right. He'll live, and he'll be able to help himself a little, but he will never walk in his life. He'll never walk again." And my daddy said, "Well, doctor, I hate to tell you, but I believe the Lord's going to let him walk again." Hallelujah. And one day, the doctor came in, and they got Ricky up and got him on his feet, and there he stood beside the hospital bed. And the lady that was there, helping around the room, she blew up a balloon and tied it in the knot and thumped it across the room and said, "Ricky, go get that balloon." And he started across the room with my daddy and my mama and the doctor and this lady watching. And as he walked across that room taking those slow steps, he drug one of his legs behind him. And there stands the doctor, you know, and God bless all the doctors. But anyway, there he stands, and he said, "He'll walk, but he'll drag that leg the rest of his life." And my daddy said, "No, I believe the Lord is going to heal him completely." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one day, they called and said, "Get the house cleaned up. Ricky's coming home." Praise God, I want you to know that little old cotton head come out of that car. All of us kids standing out watching him. You know, we didn't know what one would look like being a vegetable anyhow. But I want you to know, when he crawled out of that car, he was a little bit skinny and peaked. But I want you to know, brother, he was a living and he was a walking and he was all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Told him he might be up tonight. I kind of hoped he'd make it, but he didn't make it yet. But anyway, it don't really matter. He's 20 years old, and 18 years ago, the doctor said, the boy ain't never going to live. But I want you to know he's alive and well tonight, and it's because the Lord hears prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't quit just because some agnostic said the Lord don't answer prayer anymore. He still heals diseases, and he still set folks free. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And whether you realize it or not, friend, there are a lot of people across this world tonight that are going to where Jesus is. Hallelujah! They're looking up somebody who knows something about him. They're saying, "Tell me more about Jesus. Let me know more about his name. Let me know more about his word." Praise God. You all love God tonight because he hears prayer. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, so often we hear about the folks that are not interested in the Lord. But I like to talk about those that I've seen that were interested. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One day, one morning, I heard a telephone ring. I reached over to get it about 8 o'clock, you know, early for preachers. I grabbed that telephone, got all the mush out of my mouth, said, "Hello." And a boy said, "This is Mark Griffin. You remember me?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Preacher, I need to talk to you." I said, "All right, meet me at study." I went over here and I got all spruced up and went over there to meet this boy. I thought, you know, he's going to come over and talk to me about religion and church, you know. I didn't realize he needed God. I'll make that honest confession. I was just going to talk to him as a professional. I was going to talk about his problems and tell him what he could do. You know, someday if he ever decided to come to our church, he could maybe come to our altar one night. Maybe the Lord help him. I got over to the study, sat down in that overstuffed chair, and reared back in it. And somebody knocked on the door, and I said, "Come in," you know, and that voice that I learned how to do it. He turned the knob on the door and walked in. I knew what to expect, but I didn't realize the emotional condition this boy was in. Hair down below his shoulders. He walked through, and I said, "How are you, Mark?" "I'm not so good." Grown man now, don't forget, grown man. I said, "Well, sit down, let's talk about it." He said, I start talking. I was going to tell him, you know, how it all was and how it used to be. And he said, "Preacher, I should have been living for God a long time ago." And I think, "Well, you hold still down a little bit here now. You know, you're kind of rushing ahead of me. I hadn't even got number three out yet. I'm still way back here." And all of a sudden, he just broke down with the squall, and he said, "I'm miserable." I said, "Mark, do you want to pray or do you want to talk?" He said, "I want to pray." I said, "Let's go, man. I want you to know we stepped all that old formality off and opened that door into that big old empty auditorium, and down the aisle we went and fell down at the altar, and you talk about a boy who had never been in a Pentecostal altar before praying. He prayed." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, me and him, we did have a prayer meeting for about 2 hours. He repented of everything he ever thought he did, and I was trying to suggest stuff to him to get it all out of him. I said, "Man, get it all out of your heart. Get it all out of your life." And after a while, I said, "Mark, if you really repent of your sins, you're ready to live for God," I said, "I want to baptize you in Jesus' name according to the Scripture." He just looked, he said, "I'm ready, brother." He was hungry for God. Somewhere. An old boy on the job working casually one day said something about the church. That conversation began to develop, and the first thing you know, Wendell told him what God could do for him, and Mark said, "If God can do it, I'm going to him." And that's what my text is tonight. "Oh, thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." Praise God. All men seek for you, Lord. Praise God. And whether somebody out there tonight is really looking for him or not, and whether it appears that they are, inside their soul is crying out for the one who hears prayers. So up in the baptismal tank we went, and I love this, praise God. I love to baptize people as much as, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't hardly agree with those who say we had 500 saved and 7 followed the Lord in baptism. I want you to know, the Bible tells me that the like figure wherein two baptism doth also now save us. In parentheses, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience to God. And then closing the parentheses, and the Scripture says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And baptism doth also now save us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so up there, I told him what I was fixing to do. I said, "Mark, I'm fixing to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." You know what Ananias told Paul? He said, "Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you're going to ever get your sins washed away, you're going to have to come to Jesus to do it. Praise God. That's why I'm telling you tonight, "Oh, thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." You can go through every ritual in the world, but if you ever get ready to get your sins washed away, you're coming scripturally to Jesus. Praise God. I don't care. You may be upset. I don't know what you're upset about. I wish you'd smile a little bit. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach now. Well, that night I lost Mark. I told him, "You know, I ain't praying for him. I couldn't get him to stand still long enough to get him under the chin." You can do that quick, boy. You can never get one of them standing quick still long enough. You'd get him under the chin. You can get him talking his tongue. That is not long. Well, some time ago, an old boy was in our church, and he told this old fella, he said, "Stick your tongue out." And he stuck his tongue out, and he nearly gagged the whole church. And I thought, my goodness alive. That's a sickness thing. I don't know whether y'all believe that here or not, but if you do, I don't agree with it. Stuck his tongue out, and what I mean, what's the forest? I stick some olive oil on it. You don't get the Holy Ghost in your tongue. Praise God. Well, anyway, when I gave the altar call that night, Because he came to church. I preached the message that the Lord gave me. He came to the altar. And I was praying with everybody else in the altar, you know, walking back and forth. And I lost him. And I thought he just got tired of praying and went home. All of a sudden, I saw him. Going into the dressing room over there, there was a kind of a jump off of the platform. I couldn't see over there. And I looked. Now, mind you, the first time ever in a Pentecostal service, I looked and there he came on his back. He had got all the way around there. I don't know how he ever got around there. And here he come back. Nobody even over there with him. He come back around there on his back, pushing himself, just keeping his feet and pushing himself. And he got all the way back out the front. And I went over there and he was talking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of course, he had some sad news for me. He said, Brother Wilkinson, I hate to tell you this. He said, my wife is the pianist down at the first at the United Methodist Church in Highland Mill. I said, oh, I tell you, boy, that's going to be rough. But I'll tell you one thing. I live to see the day that on Sunday morning she told him to get him another organ player because she was going to the Pentecostal church. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And so, time passed on. I was sitting in the study one day, me and another preacher just talking about things, you know, and the telephone rang. I picked up the telephone. I said, hello. He said, preacher, you remember Mark Griffin? I said, sure I do. He said, well, I'm his brother. Mark had gone in the service in the meantime. He said, I'm his brother, Gary. He said, I want to come down there and talk to you and let you give me what you gave him. I said, wait a minute. I didn't give him nothing. But if you'll come on down here, I said, I'll pray with you. I said, I'll honestly confess tonight, I have never told anybody in their life that they're speaking in tongues, and I never told them they had the Holy Ghost. Never told them. Praise God. Never did nothing to help them along either. Never did. The Holy Ghost can't get them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there we were. I was telling this preacher all the history of this family. Now I said, well, you know, Mark, he came so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And I was telling him all of it. And it seemed like the fellow must have just been down the corner. Because, boy, that car drove up in that parking lot and knocked on, somebody knocked on the door. And I got up and went to the door. You know, I thought this one would be in a suit. I thought he'd be a really prosperous and, you know, fancy guy. I walked through that door and opened that door. And there he stood, skin and bones. Slumped over, 28 years old, slumped over like this. Hair hung down the side of his head and hung over his shoulders somewhere. Eyes, you can hear about see through the back of his head. It looked like when you looked in those eyes, they were so empty. He walked in that room and said, preacher, I feel like I got a ton of brick on me. He said, I got to have help. He said, alcohol and drugs and wild living has ruined my life. I got to have help. Brother, I didn't offer him no suggestions except let's go. I walked out of that study. I didn't try to talk. I knew if Mark wanted to pray, this man had to pray. And I walked out of that study and down the aisle of that church and into that altar we fell. And I want you to know, you talk about a long hair pouring his heart out to God. That old boy poured his heart out to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We stood after he had finally repented for an hour and a half or 2 hours. I suggested water baptism to him, and I knew he had poured his heart after God. I said, if you realize you've really done all you can for God by repenting, I said, I want you to be baptized in Jesus' name. He said, all right. Went over to that tank, and 2 hours later, we're still standing there, him dripping wet, and we was praying and seeking God because that man realized that only God had the answer to his need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As long as Ann Landers can tell you what psychiatrist to look up or what civic organization to look up, folks are going to keep on running to Ann a little bit. But if they ever run out of Ann Landers and if psychiatry ever runs its course, they're going to seek God because only He can satisfy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All men seek for you, Lord. Everybody's looking for you. Everybody wants you. Oh, you know, it's so disappointing sometimes. You go to somebody you really think you're going to get some help from and you don't get anything. But I want you to know when you come to Jesus and you come through His directions, you don't ever have to leave empty-handed. Amen. Can I preach just a little bit longer?
That prophet gets down by the same house. He said, he spoke to my God. He breathed while I'm here. He said, right, you don't stay at the yard. He just said, and he breaks, he taught me. I know they got the word they invited me to serve. One day, you know, I don't think you ever do too much for God.
Oh, God.
And you'll never be able to do anything personally for Him in this earth.
That's right.
Except praise Him. You cannot give Him anything physically.
That's right.
Never.
Never.
The only thing you can do is to do it unto one of these.
That's right.
Amen. That's what he said. That's all you can ever do. One day she's sitting there and it just possessed her. And she says, you know, we ought to build him a room. He comes by all the time. He's blessing our house. It's good to have a man like that visit once in a while. I want you to know, church, I wouldn't take nothing for the ministers that I know. And they've been friends to me and they've been blessing to me. By the same token, there are saints of God. And we preachers don't visit other preacher saints necessarily, you know, like maybe we'd even like to. Not that we want to proselyte, but we don't visit them. But there are people that I've left in other churches that were good to me, and I love them and appreciate them. And I never even so much as write them a thank you note, because I don't want anybody to ever say that that man has tried to butter somebody up. But I appreciate everything they've ever done. She said, let's build him a little room. And they did. And I want you to know, I told you a while ago, you need to get all the old cobwebs and all the junk out of the way, so if you ever need to get to God, you ain't got no obstructions.
That's right.
You hear what I'm preaching to you? Yeah. You'll get every bit of that old hatred and the barriers and strife and emulation, all that junk you get out of your heart, because you may need God tonight before you get home.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't be like the man was arguing with another brother in the store down home. My dad was his pastor. And he was arguing and fussing. And this one fellow was trying to convince him that giving tithes to the church was right, was scriptural. It was a blessing to do it. And this other man made the statement. He said, if one brother's son, Warrington, teaches about tithing is right, I hope God strikes me dead in 30 minutes. Praise God. You better have everything out of your way if you ever need to get where God is. He answers prayer, but he won't even hear you if you regard iniquity in your heart. Now, I'm preaching to somebody right now. That's right. I'm preaching to somebody right now. He got in his car and drove a half a quarter to his house, got out, went in through the yard, and in that little, that stately country home, everything's comfortable and convenient. Money running out of his ears, as the old saying goes. Everything he needed, he had just uttered a horrible statement in the presence of God and the brethren. Walked into his house and 15 minutes has not elapsed. And he said, God, strike me dead in 30. 15 minutes, he walked through the door of his house and collapsed in the floor. Staring up into the eyes of that godly wife of his. And he was a good old man. I believe he loved God. I don't really know, and I'm not saying he was lost. I'm just saying that he got what he asked for. God obliged him because that spirit in his heart. And he looked up at his wife, and she was talking about calling somebody to pray and give an ambulance. He said, don't waste your time. He said, God's not going to hear me. I asked for this. Don't let one thing be in your way if you ever need God. The Lord has given to the church exceeding great and precious promises. And someday, you may need God to preserve one of those things and not be able to get in contact with Him. And I want you to know, the Scripture said, if I regard in my heart, if I regard iniquity, the Lord will not hear me. Praise God. Praise God. I've already preached to you.
They got it all from a seat to a table to a lamp to a base. And they said, this is his. And when you come back, they said, this is your room. And it was his all by itself. And one day, I want you to know, friend, God is good. Hallelujah. God is good. One day, the prophet said, go and ask that woman if there's anything she'd like to hear from God. So she came up and stood in the door, and there he was over there. He said, lady, you've been mighty good and careful for us. Is there anything you'd like for God to do for you? And she said, oh, if I could just have a son. He said, it's going to come to pass. Now, the Lord give her a son in 2 days if he'd have wanted to. But he didn't even alter nature. He said, it's going to come to pass in the course of time that you're going to have a baby. She did, and that child grew. They learned to love it and appreciate it. And one day it went to the field with Daddy, and I don't know, I feel like that child was probably 16 to 19 years old.
Went to the field with Daddy and told his daddy, said, "Oh, my head, my head." Daddy was too busy to even take it to the house. And so he told one of the servants, he said, "Take the young man to his hat to the house." And Mama said, from about noontime, she sat until the evening with that boy in her lap, and he died. When he died, she didn't get all flustered about this thing because she knew that God heard prayer. Hallelujah. She knew that she had contact with somebody that was able to work, and she loaded that boy on her shoulder. I want to, just because I've already seen it in the scripture that by dates, he was probably 19 years old. I'm going to preach it the way I see it tonight. You take that big old boy and that mother loaded him on her shoulder. And they had built the room for the prophet on the side of the wall with stairs leading up to it. And she's got to go all the way up those stairs. Every step from the time she put that boy on her shoulder, every step until she finally got the door open, she was going to him who hears prayer. Praise God. She knew that if she could ever get to him, everything would be all right. It was a question that she had held in her heart and said, "I know that God is able." It was like Paul. When Paul said, "I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him against that day." Be all right. And she was going to him. She finally got that door open and walked across that room and laid that boy on the prophet's bed. Came out, shut the door, down the stairs, and she said, "Get me a beast to ride on." And she rode 6 hours to Carmel. 6 hard hours to Carmel. And then she started up the side of that hill. Elisha saw her. He said, "Go and ask that woman, is all well with her? And is all well with her husband? And is all well with the son?" And the servant came and he said, "Woman, is all well with me?" And she said, "All is well." "Is all well with your husband?" "All is well." "Well, how about that boy?" And she said, because she knew, and she said, "All is well." Hallelujah! All is well. I want you to know 6 hours of riding. Later, Elisha went up those steps and into that room where that dead boy was. And Elisha knew that all was well. Hallelujah. Because he knew that God heard prayer. And Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." I want you to know tonight, church, there's no need in me rehashing this. I need to tell you tonight that God is able. And what he wants me to do is to come to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All men seek for you. Everybody's looking for you, Lord. And the Lord said, "I'm right here. And my hand is not short. And my ear is not heavy." Praise God, he still hears. And he still answers. He still works. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. He's still the Savior and the only Savior. And so we try all of the other routines, but it don't work. But when you really get ready to be saved, when you get ready to be saved from sin, you're going to have to come to Jesus. Praise God. All men seek for you.
Praise God.
Not everybody's mind. Some folks never know where to look. Some folks have gone through all the strange religions. To know them. They never thought to look.
in that one direction where he was. Praise God. You feel something in your soul tonight? Just a need there. See, I know some of you need the Holy Ghost, but do you feel that need? Do you recognize it isn't gnawing at you? I want to tell you the answer to that need. That's Jesus. Praise God. And the Bible tells me that when you seek Him with all your heart, He'll be found of you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. When you come to that point where nothing else is working, you realize you've got to have God. You abandon everything else. All your other thoughts. It's funny what thoughts people have about getting the Holy Ghost. You abandon all of that and just go where Jesus is. Praise God. He hears prayer. That's what you're talking about tonight, Brother Reynolds. Don't cross your fingers. Don't think about it. God hears you. Hallelujah. Can He promise you anything tonight? Unless I know that you're going to fall every direction of the Lord. But if you're going to fall in every direction that the Lord gives tonight, He's given you the promise. Amen. Have you repented? Fully repented? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins? We've got water. Peter told them that's what they ought to do. I'm telling you that's what you ought to do if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. And then he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And lest anybody think we might go through a routine, you know, just get baptized just for the sake of getting baptized, just put on it as far as repentance. Peter goes on and clarifies it a little more and said, the Holy Ghost is witness of these things, which the Lord gives to them that obey Him. So after you've obeyed Him 100% right down the line to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T, the Holy Ghost is your promise. Praise God. And if you come here tonight and pray, Jesus is going to hear you. Amen. And He's able to perform His promises. Thank God. Thank God. I want you to bow your heads a minute. And what's so sad about gospel is that sometimes because it's just the old Bible, we find it easy to resent it or to just absolutely ignore it. Have you ever heard anybody trying to get in touch with God when He wouldn't hear them anymore? Did you ever pray for anybody that the Lord wouldn't hear you when you prayed for them? I hate to cross your grain tonight. If you think the world has graduated to a smiley-faced religion, no strings attached, just wink your eye and get saved, I want you to know you still got to go through the blood to get saved. The plan of salvation has not been altered. And it won't be. If you overstep God's mercy tonight in this service, if iniquity rides in your heart tonight where holiness ought to be, someday you call on God when you realize you can't go anyplace else. And He won't hear you. And don't tell me it don't happen. I saw it happen. Young lady, 20 years old, crossed up the church ignored the preaching, forgot about God looking in on every situation. Ignored every word of rebuke, correction, or instruction that ever came over the pulpit. And one day, with trouble in her body, she went to the doctor, and the doctor diagnosed cancer, 20 years old. During the course of her treatment, she passed the age of 21. Things got bad. She came to church. She came for prayer. She came to pray through. She got a good case of victory. She made some amends in that church. And she began to get better. And the first thing you know, she skipped the Saturday night service. Then she skipped the Sunday night. Then she got to where she never came back. A month rolls around. She hadn't been back to church. But she did have to go back to the doctor. In a matter of a few months, from the time she had first come to church until she went back to the doctor again, cancer had spread through her body, into her bones. At 21 years of age, she became bedfast. The doctors gave up hope. Her family thought about Alan. They thought about every healer in the country. Church marched down the road one night, just about half a quarter over there, I guess. Everybody that could got in that house and prayed. Everybody that couldn't stood around that house and prayed. I asked my daddy when we came out of the house, I said, "Daddy, did you feel anything?" He said, "I couldn't touch God tonight." A few days later, without ever having received the victory in her soul, she passed away. 21 years old, married 9 months. I look back on that situation now. That girl was my friend. I look back on that, and I think how horrible it is when we go through a service like tonight and disdain what God has given. The mercy of God. The stretched out hand. The compassionate cry. He is stealing our infirmity. And we resist Him, resent Him, ignore Him. And then someday when you need Him, and you call on Him.
Oh God.
And He won't hear you. Why did He say, "Seek you the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near"? I'm telling you, church friend, if you feel God tonight in this service, if you feel His Spirit moving in your soul, if you've got one touch of conviction on your life, if you're half living for God and half not living for God, if there's any such thing, I would to God you'd get up right now and come to He, the One that hears prayer. Oh, Thou that hears prayer, unto Thee shall all flesh come. And that means the young men and the young ladies and the older men and the older ladies. That means anybody in this house tonight who needs God for any particular reason. If I were you, I'd come right now and say, "Lord, do something with my heart, my life. I've got to have help." Praise God. Praise God. If you need Him bad enough, if you feel it in your soul tonight, don't resist God's call. Don't resist His voice. Obey Him through His truth tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is God talking to your soul over this house tonight? Is God talking to you? Would you make your way to this altar right now? Would you come to Him? It's not to the preacher you're coming. It's not to me that you're submitting. It's to the Lord. It's to Him that you're coming. Come right now, will you? God bless you. God bless you as you come. Hallelujah. 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 Are there others here tonight? You feel God touching your soul? You feel something inside tonight? You want to come to Him? You know He'll hear you. You know He'll answer. You know you've got time. Why don't you make your way down here right now? Let God do something for you right now. Look at these men that have come to pray tonight. God bless them tonight to be supplied with whatever they need. Praise God. And they're still coming. And the Lord has not quit talking in this service tonight yet. He's still talking to hearts here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Somebody else here feel you need of God? Hallelujah. 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 For the running.